Welcome to the Change Your World and Mindset for 2016 Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Miss Elizabeth Quintanilla. Elizabeth, why don't you take it from here?
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that intro, Tanya Hoffman. I am a very proud member to be of the Public Speakers Association and former director of the North Austin chapter, which I am handing off to Jody, but supporting everything that Tanya Hoffman does here. So it is my absolute pleasure to introduce to you today today's topic. It's not your normal topic for this presentation, but I feel like everything you've learned in the last couple of hours, you need to figure out how to get your voice out there. And one of the ways to get your voice out there is with paid search and email marketing. So today's topic is 6 ways to supercharge your email marketing with paid search. And essentially, as a marketing consultant, I've consulted with dozens and dozens of marketing teams and businesses, and one common problem is each member of the team, whether it's a small business and everybody's doing marketing, they always work in silos. Or if you're a bigger business, it's even worse, because do you think the PR and event person always works together with the SEO and webmaster? No. And who sends out the email, the webmaster or the public relations? Public relations. So you get the picture. You'd have to figure out what everybody is doing. You know, I mean, there's a great cartoon out there, and in that, the boss lady is asking the client or the prospect candidate, saying, "Our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing, so we're only interviewing ambidextrous candidates." So a little dun-dun-dun. But the idea really is the stronger you are with your marketing, you're making a more conscientious effort to make sure that everybody knows what you're doing. So tip number one is use paid search to fuel your email list. Essentially, one of the biggest things about your email list is you're always looking for new subscribers. Essentially, you always are going out there networking, getting the business cards, but you run out of people who to send emails to. And so luckily, paid search is a perfect way to refuel your marketing funnel with new qualified prospects, because if you have a display ad or a pay-per-click ad with something that people are interested in, for instance, if I am looking up for concussions for my high school football senior, I want to find the best qualified doctor. And I am going to be Googling concussion doctors and pediatrics. I want to make sure that hopefully my landing page actually comes up in search. But if it doesn't, I have a pay-per-click ad. And where does that ad go to? My email contact form. And with a little thing at the bottom of the email contact form, it says, if you send us an email, we'll be adding you to our monthly newsletter. So you set up an email address form to basically as your primary conversion, but it can be as simple as if you don't want to have them go to a contact page, have them go to a landing page and that goes to a specific blog post and it says sign up for our newsletter for more information. Or even more, if you're one of those people who sells information or an information specialist, you can have them go to a white paper on basically getting your love life and business life in track. You know, sign up for my 7-day email course. So right there you convince the person to convert right away and just to learn more information before they call. And, you know, you can. And if they didn't actually fill the page, there's also some tricks if you guys have webmasters to solicit emails, their address in a second call to action. So if you are, for instance, selling doggy sweaters and have a Shopify store, but if they decide to abandon their cart, you can say, you're not interested in buying right now? Well, okay, that's fine, but why don't you subscribe to our doggy sweater fashionista blog? And then people will always be going in to opening your newsletters to find the proper doggy fashion apparel. So the other thing is, one of the best ways for email conversions is call to actions. And we all have heard about having the call to action, you know, and being persuasive. But one of those things is like, well, what about testing your call to actions? You know, one good way of testing your call to actions is testing with your Facebook ads or your Google ads or your Bing ads and actually seeing, because you have direct analytics behind behind the advertising to see, you know, which one is working the best. And you're going to spend a whole lot of time crafting that. So at this point, you can actually tell what is the best words. For instance, you can have a sign up for a free trial, but hey, you know, you thought that was doing great because everybody says sign up for a free trial. But maybe you say take 40 hours of your work life down to 60 seconds or less. Try now. Well, what sounds better? Try it for free or help me reduce my 40-hour work week into 1 hour. You know. And the ads will tell you what they're, what's going to be the best for you. Now, you might have actually thought that, you know, that would be great, but you can also test pictures and figuring out, especially because Facebook ad allows for multiple pictures, you can actually see with what, you know, testing different pictures on your ads of what is a better photo. So, for instance, maybe people resonate more with, like, a Westlake football helmet versus the Cowboys helmet. And it might just be because Cowboys are probably, how should I say, not doing so well right now in football, so people are not happy with the Cowboys. But Westlake, I was like, yeah, that's a high school kid. And high school kids are frankly a little bit cuter, and you want to make sure they're doing well. But it allows you to test your not only the text, but also your images. Now, here's a dirty little secret by marketers. Nowadays, I can actually upload my email list into pay-per-click so that if they're signed in with their specific Gmail or Microsoft or Yahoo Mail, basically Bing, Yahoo, and Google know to show that ad regardless for what else they're searching. So if you're not collecting emails for that reason alone, when you go to pay-per-click, you need to make sure that you actually upload both in your constant contact or other email monthly newsletter providers, have those up to date, but also have those up to date for everything that you're running in pay-per-click. It's basically customer match through AdWords. And you can also do, there is a way to do it also in Facebook as well. So, you know, one of the really good benefits of this is basically that you don't have to have as many emails going out there in your newsletter. So if I'm running a restaurant and I know that tonight's sushi roll special is the rock and roll, but maybe on Thursday, you know, that you're actually doing a new roll and it's like, okay, it's dynamite tuna. Well, why don't you just do an ad for Dynamite Tuna on Thursday to your email list on Facebook rather than blast their inboxes with the daily special? And besides, if I'm as a sushi aficionado, what brings me to your restaurant? Good food, images. And you also test your quality of how you're doing your images. You know, and a good thing about this, actually, is that it'll save you from that dreaded unsubscribe. With the unsubscribe feature, the one we work so hard to get emails, the last thing we want to do is spam everybody's inbox such that nobody wants to, everybody wants to unsubscribe or automatically move to junk mail or more or worse be put into a special folder in Google. Again, I apologize for the background noise. I'm actually here with a girlfriend and we're enjoying a bunch of great barbecue and I'm having a cider, and I think she's having a shiner. So, yeah. But basically, that being said, I mean, you know, you're more likely to follow a purchase if you see the brand name repeatedly. It doesn't have to be repeatedly in your inbox. It could be following you on Facebook, and the brand can be following you on Google as well as your inbox. So, and that way you don't always look desperate with just the latest sushi special every day in my inbox. So, essentially, this is called remarketing. So your ads appear while they're browsing the internet. And if you have a smart webmaster, there is a way to embed pixels and other Google tracking codes such that if they came from Facebook through a specific ad campaign, they know Facebook knows via pixel, or because of the Google ad tracking code, they can also figure out and send you the same ad, and then you can put them into a drip campaign to see a secondary ad. And Google is easier than Facebook for this, but at least you can see who's come to your website multiple times via the pixel and the Google tracking code. And with that being said, the biggest thing behind that is that it allows you to reduce your email frequency. So they're no longer, you know, jaded by what is a sushi special or to, you know, the Monday sweater campaign, but instead you get to say, hey, by the way, we're here and we're part of the community. So our restaurant is available for your corporate event, and add a little bit more meat to the email newsletter. And maybe now you won't get people here for just the $6.99 social sushi roll, but maybe they'd actually book a room for, you know, $100 for 4 hours and get a food catering order out of the deal. I'm going through this a little bit fast, so I'm going to repeat the highlights here towards the end. But essentially, I want to go back and reinforce the things about images. You know, with pay-per-click, you can really see which images are driving and resonating. And also, not only that, but because Google Display Networks, Twitter, and Facebook have different image size things, you can actually test which images are working best for each size. So it might actually tell you which images then you should go back and be using, or category of images you should be using to revamp your website, which then becomes a landing page, which then maybe also it get incorporated to our blog post, which, of course, as proper email marketers, we want to make sure that all of our dedicated subscribers are reading our blogs by receiving the monthly newsletter. Okay. Now, how many of us have ever seen those ads on Gmail? So Gmail-sponsored promotions are those little advertisings in Gmail ahead of your inbox. And so all of a sudden I've been Googling, you know, best prep schools for my upcoming nephew's SAT so I can sound smart when I talk to my sister. And then what do I see on the Google ads is SAT preparation. And so, you know, if you can't be in their inbox and you get shoved to another folder, maybe consider having your ad on the Gmail sponsor promotion so that you appear always in their inbox. Pretty smart, huh? And, of course, that's going to a landing page so you can capture their email. So just because people may not be familiar with this, they have two components, basically a collapsed ad, which is basically similar to just a little ad in the image ad, or it could actually be an expanded ad where it takes a considerable lot more room. One of the other things about, I want to say, just to give you a heads up on pay-per-click, don't be the cheesy little ad where it's just the little headline and image there. Please use all the features so that you actually can now do call from your, when you click on the ad, it will actually call the business. So if you're going to spend the time crafting a pay-per-click ad, make sure you have all the call to actions that are there and available in pay-per-click. Okay, now going back and reverting, the teaser ad is similar to a closed email, so it, you have to make sure that it reads like an email subject line. So look for figuring out, you know, what previous newsletters you might have had that actually yield high open rates, and copy that and use that as your tried and true. Okay. So being a little bit, just to remind you guys what it is, that what we're talking about here is, you know, six ways to supercharge your email marketing with pay-per-click. And number one is use paid search to reach subscribers you normally would not reach out to by having people who are interested in your subject go to a landing page and subscribe, and you, and in that there, capture their email address. If your landing page is a Shopify or other consumer product or product, make sure that it's the product page, and if they abandon the cart, you have a secondary call to action to capture their email address. Use pay-per-click to definitely test your calls to action, because you, while we do a lot of time crafting the newsletter, we want to make sure that we can test different calls to action about what's working by, you know, with our pay-per-click campaigns. So it's, you know, crafting the perfect call to action. So there's tools called AdWords graders, and that'll help you. That is a 60-pound French poodle howling there, but we're about to walk around Lake Austin, or Lady Bird Lake. So, okay. Test your images and test your image sizes based on the different categories. Run your email list and upload your email list to pay-per-click so that not only are you taking advantage of the pixel and the Google tracking code for remarketing, but you're also doing Google ad campaigns based on your email list, and therefore you can run more frequent ad specials than cluttering people's inboxes. So, and avoiding the dreaded unsubscribed. So, and testing with, you know, the funnel. So if they get on a certain landing page or a certain sequence, maybe it's a person that you have in a segmented list that you can test with a different ad and see if that landing page is working. And the last tip is actually don't forget to do pay-per-click ads with the Gmail sponsor promotion, such that you can also then craft your performance of how well is your subject lines and people coming in. Well, Tanya, I was a little bit short today, but if you want to stop the recording, just in case there's too people coming in for happy hour.
Okay. If you have any questions or comments for Elizabeth, to let you know, Elizabeth, everybody dropped. So,
what? Everybody dropped off the phone?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. They probably were like, oh, okay, it was hard to hear you, and you sounded very distracted.
No, I wasn't distracted. I was just trying to keep the dogs quiet. I apologize.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll listen to the recording later, but I wanted to make sure I at least came in, and I should have put myself in a quieter spot. I'll make sure that happens on the next Sunday.
Yeah, no worries. I was cracking up the whole time, and the dog started barking. It was awesome. It reminds me when the guy was ringing your doorbell. He's like, something like that always happens.
No, that is true. I was on one of these telephones, and then the postman actually came in and rang the doorbell and kept ringing the doorbell the entire time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Well, I apologize, but how about I resubmit this to the next you know, on the next summit and go a little bit longer. So that way, yeah. But did you like the content?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, enjoy your drink.
I will. Have a good one. And as I said, sorry I wasn't better prepared for this one. I was just trying to get it done.
No worries. Thanks for filling in last minute.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hello there, Rocky.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
Good. Well, the last lady messed up. She filled in for a lady who had an emergency with her mom, and she had dogs barking in the background, and everyone dropped off. So, so we're waiting for everyone to come back in. They probably just got frustrated with trying to hear her and figure out what she's trying to say.
Okay, I myself actually puked just 10 minutes ago, and I was hoping I don't mess up.
Oh, yeah, if it is, you know, we just deal with it.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God.
No, I kept my dogs outside. I knew it's their kind of walking time, so I was like, I better keep them outside because I know they will start barking.
Oh, I know. Mine's terrible about it. When I'm trying to do something, she's like, goes crazy, of course.
How have you been?
Good. We're just trying to get everything going for the fabulous new year. How about you?
Good. I was hoping, you know, I was realizing just today when I was getting ready for this presentation, and I was really enjoying writing the material, and then I kind of was like, oh my God, I'm having fun. Why don't I do these every month versus, you know, it's like something comes up and I should move my meetings around, you know, with the schedule.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. We need to get you put into the featured speakers section, so that way you get more exposure and can be on all the on the virtual summits and be in my TV show and all that. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I actually looked into the – I was looking for one of the emails where you said you – for new members, it was the same price as the featured. So then I was actually about to email you and ask you, so what about the existing members? Like, you know, do they – get upgraded, or is there a special pricing for them? And then I totally, you know, I guess I forgot about it.
Yeah, it was for just new members, and we were running a special for the Black Friday, you know, weekend type of thing. But yeah, if you, what we could do is, because you've been with us for so long, is do like a cheaper upgrade, like $100 or something, and that way it'll just kind of get you in. You want to do that?
Yeah, sure. No, I actually wanted to get even more exposure and even wanted to try the TV show because I know that's one of my weaknesses. Like, I hate being on that, you know, stage, but at the same time, I want to face that. And, you know, I was like...
But you do a great job on here. You should be in all those kind of things. And I don't know if I told you, too. I mean, a lot of the conferences are looking for minority women to be on stage. So it's like the perfect time to get involved.
You know, I was going to actually ask you about that because I looked at all the conferences and the summits that you send. But and I know you say, like, you know, it doesn't – sometimes it doesn't apply to you. But I actually feel that way because, you know, I don't have any, like, you know, background in health or anything. Then how can I still – talk about it, you know, because it's sometimes, you know, like there are people who can write content for you, but they are not, they don't want to be on stage. So I was like, you know, maybe I should get guidance around, you know, like, hey, if we can get someone to write it up, and then, you know, I can even get on it. Or, you know, I don't know even how can I do research and, you know, start making up my own content.
Well, I think that we'll probably need to get together and talk about it a little bit, but What's the main gist of your presentations?
Well, mostly it's been, you know, either now I'm actually more comfortable with my career, like product management. But I saw in your presentations in all these summits, you know, I find myself comfortable, you know, doing these, you know, like any subject, you know, then change your mindset. Like, you know, like this one or like, you know, inspiring ones. But I really don't want to limit myself to these subjects, you know, because, I mean, there's the other conferences that you get, that's all around, like, you know, marketing and strategy and content, and I really want to get on that too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it sounds like it's something that you could really, because a lot of times people have struggle because they're so niched, they can't figure out what they can go and speak on. And just because an event doesn't ask for something you want to speak on, if you see, say it's a tech conference, it's the ITIS world, and they're not asking for, you know, changing mindsets. But that would be a perfect one, right? Because they oftentimes only see their analytical approach, and that's why they have a hard time with marketing and, you know, different approaches. So you could apply for them even though they may be asking for, you know, C++ and cloud computing and stuff like that. Go ahead and apply because you just never know if, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, that'd be perfect. And a lot of times, too, these conferences will bring in a kind of a token woman, no matter what she's going to speak on, just to say, see, we got a woman here.
I should try that. I really, because my really goal is to, you know, like get really on the presentations and get on stage. And, I mean, I'm ready to explore even other contents. It's just that I don't have exposure. But I bet it's just a matter of trying. And then, you know, with research and with experience, you know, you start getting used to it.
Yeah, you know, whatever – I mean, the first 3 years is really just trying to figure out what do you have to speak about that people want to book and what do you have to speak about that will translate into money once you are booked.
Yeah. True.
So, yeah, just use, you know, this time to, you know, kind of hone your skills and get out there and just speak, so that way you're figuring out what do you like to speak about, what do you don't like to speak about, you know, all those kind of things. And
yes,
I see
yes.
some people who are joining us. Thank y'all for coming back. I'm glad y'all are back with us, because we've got the fabulous Ms. Rocky Ahuja. I love your last name, by the way.
Thank you.
There's no way to say that softly, you know.
Yeah.
All righty. You ready
to hard
go?
On J.
Yeah,
yes,
really?
I am.
Is that how you you pronounce it, right? Ahuja?
Ahuja, yes.
Perfect. All righty. Let me go start the recording. We'll get going.
Okay.
Hold on one moment.